We're continuing our message series, The Place of Prayer. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And this rings deeply true this morning. This passage of Scripture, which is recorded in Matthew 26, as well as Mark 14 and Luke 22, the agonizing prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane before he is crucified. There is a weight to this prayer, an honesty, a surrender, sorrow, passion, intimacy, submission. Father, your will be done. Jesus prays, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. The cup that Jesus would endure on the cross, not just physical suffering. For on the cross, Jesus was forsaken by God the Father. On the cross, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. And on the cross, Jesus was made sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Gethsemane, Jesus knew all that lay ahead. And in this most critical of moments, he prays. He prays. He falls with his face to the ground. He prays earnestly. He prays passionately. And we have a window into prayer through this moment in the life of Christ. What can we discover? How can we be transformed? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you highlight from your word and through your spirit what you'd like each person here, what you'd like us to understand, to take away, to put into practice, to be transformed. We ask that you would teach us this morning, that you would correct us. We ask that you would encourage us. And we ask that you would transform us. May our hearts more and more align with your heart. Your will be done. Your good, pleasing, and perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things we can learn from this passage is the priority that Jesus placed on prayer. And if Jesus prioritized prayer, then certainly we should. And in this situation, Jesus prioritized prayer even over sleep. And after praying for the first time, Jesus returns to his disciples to find them asleep. Now, sleep is not wrong. Sleep is important. And clearly the disciples are tired. But Jesus doesn't say, there's a lot that's going to happen. You'll need to be really alert. So good job resting up. No, he doesn't say that. It's actually the opposite. Couldn't you have stayed up, kept watch with me for an hour? That act of waiting, watching, praying. Watch and pray. Prepare in prayer for the situation ahead. And as you know, we had Bible Day Camp this week. And each morning, right in that corner over there, before the kids arrived, we gathered together and we prayed together. We prepared in prayer. We sought to align ourselves with God's heart. I'm sure you've heard of a power nap. I like them myself. I actually really use them. It's an intentional time to sleep in the middle of a busy day. So you can recharge. You can actually get more done than if you didn't have the power nap. So how about this idea? A power prayer. This is my own phrase here. Your day is so busy, so full, that you intentionally stop and make time to pray. You have a conversation with God. You invite God fully into the situation. You allow Him to direct you, to make adjustments, to fill you with His Spirit. Maybe you have guests coming over to your home. Maybe it's lunchtime at work or at school. Maybe you're off to an evening activity, a power prayer. And aren't we often tempted to think and do the opposite? I know I am. My day is so busy. I've got so much to do. I don't really have time to pray today. But what if we started thinking and doing this? My day is so busy. I've got so much to do that I absolutely need to make time to pray. Do we prioritize prayer above other things? Jesus did. In this passage, we also see how prayer protects. Verse 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, says Jesus. Peter is one of the disciples who falls asleep instead of watching and praying. And soon he will fall into temptation. He will disown Jesus 3 times. But before we're too hard on Peter, we have to know it can happen to anyone. So we need to watch and pray. Pray over your marriage. Pray over what kinds of things you look at on the internet. Pray over how you engage in social media. Pray over your close friendships. Pray over your work. Watch and pray. Prayer protects. We also clearly see in this passage that prayer can be passionate. We read in verse 47 that Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. And one commentator writes that these words hardly do justice to the Greek verbs, which suggest an anguish of wretchedness. An anguish of wretchedness. Jesus said, verse 38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. We have a Savior who feels, a God who understands. We can safely pour out our hearts in prayer. And may we be open more and more to realize all that Jesus did, to see everything He went through for us. Sam Steele's was a fictitious character, but what happened there is real. Giving your life to Jesus is real. It changes everything. And maybe today is your day, if you haven't done this, where you accept God's invitation for forgiveness and new life in Jesus. Because Jesus willingly suffered and died on the cross for your sins. We also see how Jesus persisted in prayer. He asked his Father for the cup to be removed, not once, not twice, but three times. We should pray and not give up. Keep praying until the matter is resolved. And Jesus had told his disciples a parable about praying and not giving up, sometimes called the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, 1-8. I remember preaching on that. And in Gethsemane, Jesus puts into practice what he is taught. He persists in prayer. Jesus persists, but the cup is not removed. And Christ willingly accepts this. Verse 46, "Rise, let us go," said Jesus. "Here comes my betrayer." There's much to learn by looking at how Jesus prays in this situation. He boldly makes a specific request for the cup to be taken away, and he prays for God's will to be done. For Jesus, the most important thing, the priority, the non-negotiable, if we can put it that way, is for the Father's will to be done. Verse 39, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Verse 42, "May your will be done." And in contrast, Jesus presents his specific request for the cup to be taken away with the word "if." Jesus acknowledges that there's more than one potential outcome. "If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Jesus will accept either outcome, yes or no. Remember, Jesus is not making this request casually or flippantly. He is sorrowful to the point of death. The answer matters. Jesus is praying with his whole being, and the answer, yes or no, will greatly impact him. But regardless of the outcome, Jesus prays, "Father, may your will be done." The heart of this prayer, the priority in this prayer, is for God's will to be done. And we need this same priority in prayer, for God's will to be done. God's will that is good, pleasing, and perfect. Romans 12:2. We align ourselves with God's heart and God's will. We submit our will to God's will. We allow God to transform our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that more and more our hearts, our thoughts, our desires, our actions, they align with God's thoughts, with God's desires, with God's actions. Your will be be done. This week, I read a chapter on prayer in the book, The Divine Conspiracy, by Dallas Willard. It's I don't know if you've had these type of reads, but it's one of those reads, and I'm still processing, I'm still chewing on it, but I found it very thought-provoking. And at one point in his book, Willard defines prayer simply as talking to God about what we're doing together. And that gets me thinking. Talking to God about what we are doing together. For example, what are we doing together? You and me, God, in my family. What are we doing together at church? Is there an area where I can serve you? Is there someone you want me to invite to Alpha? What are we doing together, God, you and me, in my neighborhood, in my community? Who needs our help? And this can only happen as we pray, Father, your will be done. Our heart aligning with God's heart, our will submitting and aligning with God's will. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, we're instructed by Jesus to pray to our Heavenly Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Jesus shows us how this is done in Gethsemane. I'll invite the music team to come forward. Notice that Jesus doesn't pray, if your will be done. He humbly and boldly prays, into God's will being accomplished. Father, may your will be done. And we can do the same. We don't have to pray with the word if when it comes to God's will. We can pray as Jesus did, your will be done. We understand that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5:16. And as we are drawn deeper into a life of prayer through the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we discern more and more how our requests fit into God's plans, God's will. There's a love for God's will, for his good and perfect will. There's joy, there's peace in God's will. And we humbly accept God's answers. We keep on praying passionately and powerfully, your will be done. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for what you did. Oh, thank you. Father in heaven, your will be done. Your will be done. In Jesus' name.